Welcome to Getting Through It, where we're here to help you get through it. I'm John Bueri, and as always, I'm with the always welcoming Dr. Lucy Jones. So let's get to it. Today, we're talking about how you can make sure disasters don't destroy your social systems. It's about how you can work not to blame other people for what is a natural occurrence. It's possible for each of us to change the outcome of a natural hazard, but the things we do in advance, we know that. It's called resilience. But not everyone has the means or capability to make the changes necessary to do that. Some people are struggling with day-to-day crisis of underemployment, discrimination, or housing and food insecurity. People think that earthquakes and even climate change are equal opportunity events that affect all people the same because natural hazards don't know where the political boundaries are and would affect all people the same. Lucy, you've said that isn't true. So why is that?
The natural disaster doesn't know the boundaries, but the consequences of the disaster depends on what you've done beforehand, and your ability to recover from the disaster depends upon the resources you have to bounce back. And so in every natural disaster, we see that the impoverished suffer more and take longer to recover because they just don't have the resources to deal with the crisis. And you know, our systems always fail where they are already weak. You know, it's the bad building that comes down or the unexpected levee that breaks through. And the same happens with our social systems as well.
So as you're talking, immediately coming to mind is the system that fell apart sort of in recent memory, and that's Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, right? That system fell apart.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the political system failed where it was already really coming apart. You know, this was a community where the city was fighting with the state and they couldn't work together afterwards. But also think about what we saw there. Because of all those mistakes, we saw people drowning in their own homes. We saw something that we never imagined we would see in America. And one of the responses we had to that was to say, it was really the fault of the people in New Orleans. Why didn't they evacuate? Look at them, breakdown in social order. Oh, they're going and looting all of this time. Because by saying it was their fault, we could say it happened to them for that reason, and I don't have to worry that it's going to happen to me as an American in a different American city. And that's something we really want to do.
Is that a disaster thing? We blame someone in a disaster?
It's a pretty human thing, and we do this sort of no matter what the situation. Think about it when you first hear that somebody has had a heart attack. What's the first thing you think of? Oh, boy, she's put on a few pounds. I bet you she wasn't exercising, right? Or that they've got cancer. What was he smoking, right? By doing that, we say the problem was theirs, and it's not going to happen to me because I'm not going to make the same mistake. In fact, you know, there's people who run marathons who come down with heart attacks. But by thinking that, we have a way of isolating ourselves, of protecting ourselves, making a pattern that makes us feel safe.
And it's interesting, you know, as you think back to Katrina, it also had issues of racism and classism that, you know, sort of is highlighted, if everyone remembers, during that telethon for the Red Cross where Kanye West, you know, brought out comments about the treatment of Black residents in the area and the difference between the Black and the white communities.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's not the first time they've seen that. Obviously, it's endemic to all of American society. But actually, on the Mississippi River, if you go back to 1927, 8 decades before Katrina, there was a massive flood. It was one of the biggest disasters in American history. The levees broke along the river. And as they were failing in that community, what they did, it literally went into the Black parts of town and at gunpoint forced the African-American men to go up onto the levees and try to rebuild them. And when they got to the point that the levee was actually failing and they tried to run away because the water was coming, they were forced back at gunpoint and ended up being swept away. And hundreds of them died in just one break. And they weren't even recorded as dead because the death toll really only counted the white people. So that whole racism defining how we respond to disasters is really part of American society because, you know, disasters, just bring out the worst in us. They're bringing out, they're causing problems where we're already having problems. And, you know, as we're all, you know, coming to terms with recently, racism is the, you know, the birth defect of American society, as Condoleezza Rice put it.
So is this an American issue that during disaster we blame the victim and we racism is sort of ingrained in it?
Well, you know, America always has a special relationship with racism, but in fact, blaming the victim and in fact, racism of different types shows up in a lot of disasters. A few years before that Mississippi flood, there was an earthquake in Japan called the Kanto earthquake. And as people dealt with that and huge devastation, rumors started going around that Koreans, there were like 20,000 Koreans working in Tokyo and Yokohama at the time. The rumors went around that they were setting fires and poisoning wells, part of the problems created by the earthquake. And literally their neighbors turned on them and 6,000 Koreans were slaughtered in the 4 days after that earthquake. So it's such a concept, and yet it's a deep-seated human need to put the problem outside of ourselves, to create an other that you can put the blame on. Remember the idea of a scapegoat? You pile the sins on the goat and then run it out of town. We do this to people as well. And it's an emotional construct that allows us to put the problem and the fear that what you saw happening to someone else could be happening to you. It's a way to put that fear at a distance.
This is heavy, Lucy. I mean, our podcast is called Getting Through It, and I don't know if we've gotten through much. So what can we do as a community? What all our listeners out there, what should they be doing about this? Now that we know, what should we do?
Well, you know, it's sort of like the fundamental issues that we're hearing about racism right now, which is you need to listen. You need to understand. And especially this idea of blaming the victim. When we realize that this is an instinctual pattern that we are, you know, that we hunt for the pattern that makes me believe I'm going to be safe, you can recognize the emotional piece that's driving you to think that maybe isn't logical reasoning, and that understanding is the first step to overcoming it.
And so what do you suggest those folks listening do to prepare for the next big disaster as it relates to their neighbors who are somehow different than them or may have a different experience? I mean, that's what this is about, difference, people in different circumstances.
Right. And when that disaster comes, the fact that we live near each other and we're suffering from the same physical, natural phenomenon, and we're all needing to, you know, get our water back or whatever it is, means that we have something we can share. And if we can come together to get it back, we're all going to do better. And so we've got these sort of two things driving us. One is create the other and push them away because that makes me emotionally, instinctually feel better, versus the reality that communities recover because they work together, and that harnessing the power of community to work together towards a goal is the part that helps us. And so what can you do to humanize your neighbor? Get out there and get to know them now, knowing that their experience in the earthquake, they'll get the same shaking, but they won't necessarily have the same experience.
As you're saying that, the harnessing the power, you know, the work that we have done, you and I, across Southern California in particular, to bring communities together. I know we're working on a couple projects through the nonprofit Lucy Jones Center, to be able to bring groups together that may not have partnered before. And I wonder if, you know, our intention here was to build bonds for the purpose of building resilience, that people who get to know each other as people will more likely help each other and be there to trust each other. So it feels like the basis of blame is in distrust. And so if we can build a stronger trust between members of a community, you then strengthen the community as a whole and therefore have a stronger recovery.
Well, and you know, John, you're right. And imagine too that you don't have to have the disaster to have a benefit from having gotten together and working together. So it's a win-win for all of us.
And that's the note we're going to end on. It is a win-win if we all work together. We're going to have to do this again. So until next time, I'm John Bwary with Dr. Lucy Jones and you, Getting Through It. Getting Through It is the production of the Dr. Lucy Jones Center for Science and Society. Visit us online to get past shows and subscribe to get extras, insights, and access to the world of getting through it. Our music is performed by Josh Lee, and this closing music is written by our own Dr. Lucy Jones.